Hello all and welcome to yet another edition of HRTech.sg's Tech Talks, where we talk to subject matter experts on all aspects of the realm of HR technology. Today, extremely delighted to host Daniel Callaghan, founder and CEO of Veramark. Veramark is actually a fast-growing global player in the pre-employment screening and blockchain identification market. He launched the startup in 2019 and has since then grown it into a Series A funded firm. They recently raised $8.5 million in Series A equity round. In fact, they had also raised about $2.8 million as part of the seed round last year. Today, we're going to be talking about the evolving trends in the talent acquisition tech space with Daniel. Thanks again for joining us, Daniel.
No, thank you for having me, Shreya. Great to reconnect.
Perfect. And congratulations on the recent fundraise. That indeed is a milestone in Veramark's journey. Isn't it so?
Yeah, no, it's great. But as you say, I mean, it's just a milestone, not the destination. So a long way to go with lots more hard work to come.
So that's where we start off. So where are the funds getting invested into? Is it for expanding into newer markets or for creation of new service offerings?
As you said, Veramark is a global pre-employment screening business. That is to say that we help companies do the necessary checks on people who are going to join their team, either to make sure that they have the right level of integrity or the right credentials, or that they're not in breach of any regulatory requirements. Such things as education, employment, academic, criminal, credit checks, we're able to offer across 150 countries and really provide a seamless and high quality digital experience. Because of that we were able to raise the funds and why we've been able to consistently win business. And so we're certainly the fastest growing business in our sector across APAC, for sure. For us, the ongoing investment will really continue to be doing lots more of the same. And it's really doubling down on the product. We have a unique view of how the world and people's own verified data should be accessible and be shared. And that's where the blockchain angle comes in from a digital credentials perspective. But equally, we massively believe in really trying to take customer service and customer excellence to another level. And by customers, we equally hold in mind the various stakeholders, which are both the employment agency or the employer and the candidate. And we really want that experience to be as easy and frictionless and efficient as possible so that everyone gets the best outcome. And for us, the whole core of the investment is really going to achieve that goal, whether that's through investing in more technology or investing in more customer service teams or is. From a market perspective, we are already, as I said, offering a global service, but for us, the key markets are, you know, really focused around some of the largest ones in APAC and Southeast Asia. I think, again, it's just about dominating that, right? So we will own or try and own the Singapore market. We will try and then own, you know, the Australian market or the UK market. We don't want to spread ourselves too thinly. We'll save that for Series B next year, where we can really start to, you know, tackle the world. But for right now, again, there's $1 billion in spend in pre-employment screening just in APAC alone. So it's not like you have to go too far to be able to find an attractive market that Veramark, because again, its superior technology and experience can easily capture some market share.
Fantastic. Completely agree with you on the growth potential in Asia Pacific. But what are the key challenges in terms of market or talent challenges that your clients are facing right now?
I think, you know, as always, there's a variety of challenges that they have, right? And so there's all these residual problems with COVID and the much hyped great resignation and people not wanting to come back to the office. And therefore, if being forced to come back to the office, the exodus of staff or the leavers and so forth. So right now, a lot of companies are really faced with just this talent quandary of how do I get my people back engaged? How do I get them back in the office? And how do I get them really excited about working for me? Or how do we transition to make this new world of working a permanent feature in our operating model? And I think that's still taking up a huge amount of time for HR leaders and certainly for people and culture professionals who are really the champions for the employee rights and how they can get represented across the firm. Yeah, the second strand is obviously there continues also to be a very strong shortage of talent in certain sectors. We've seen, everyone knows about the tech talent shortage and how that is taking on. You've heard stories about the airlines and therefore the chaos that's caused around the world. And again, that is obviously one because of the acceleration in new skills and the, you know, the rapid demand versus what is a somewhat antiquated education system in terms of preparing people for the talent. But again, it's also created by this societal shift in people changing or choosing how they want to work, and becoming a growing number of independents or entrepreneurs or people who are starting their own, being self-employed, as opposed to having to go back to the corporate grind, if you will. And I think it's those two sort of opposing forces around retention of my own staff, as well as how do I acquire the new talent, that again are going to be top of the agenda for a lot of people. And underneath that, you've got sort of sub issues, right? If inflation's going through the roof, how do we price that into salaries and reviews when we can't do so without raising our prices to the end clients, and therefore creating a vicious circle of unprofitability for the customers, for the clients, right? The company itself. So it's a really interesting dynamic for internal HR teams and talent acquisition teams at the moment, because there's a lot of tides against them.
Sure. There are multiple issues to grapple with. As you rightly said, retention of talent and also acquisition of new talent, managing both this is a huge challenge. And since you manage the workplace accelerator, one of the reasons cited by most companies that people are quitting is that because there are a lot of investors chasing these talented individuals to start up, right? And so they are actually quitting to become entrepreneurs. And so there is a lot of pressure on HR teams to create entrepreneurial culture within the organization to retain these folks. So very valid points that you cited. One of the key aspects that we have found across HR tech segment is that there is a resistance, hesitation to invest in HR tech solutions by enterprise clients. Okay. Why do organizations hesitate to invest in HR tech?
I think it's certainly cultural. I mean, it's obviously not entirely systemic. The acceptance of HR tech is much more commonplace in countries like America or the UK. Yeah, I think it comes down to a couple of components, right? It's the perception of HR and an understanding of how to frame the use case for HR tech. And unfortunately, there are many organizations still across the region who have an older school mindset to what human resources, what people management, what talent management is really about. And it's often still very much confined to people and politics and payroll. Right? And that's not, certainly in today, it is far expanded. There's a real question, therefore, around when they bring in this technology, well, it's just another addition of cost, right? They don't see talent as the strategic advantage that it could be. They don't see talent management as the strategic advantage. They don't see talent acquisition as the strategic differentiator that can ultimately then drive those other twos as well. And as long as that mindset remains, then everyone's happy with the status quo, and we'll all just punch a ticket on a Friday to say we've clocked in and clocked out, right? It's easy to do. Then you have the people who do understand that they want it, and the HR teams get enthusiastic about it. But it's about how do you quantify therefore the benefit? How do you build out the business case? Can you show that by doing an engagement survey, we can reduce retention increase retention by 5%? And then the final step of that calculation is, well, that saves us X dollars in productivity or rehiring or lost brain power. And often the journey seems to stop with, oh, that's a cool tool, I'd like to use it. When presenting it further up the hierarchy, if you will, then it's the business case isn't fully fleshed out to really drive home. Actually, this is a penny saved is a penny, and this will not only increase productivity, but will also overall save us a lot of money in terms of replacing great team people.
There are a lot of reasons that clients usually cite on the perception of high costs of HR tech. In fact, with the SaaS model, rates have actually come down per head, right? And then you have lack of digital skills of the HR teams and all of those. But what I would really like to agree with you is this is the key reason which most HR teams have been citing, is that they are unable to present a strong business case with dollars and cents representing the business case to the leadership team. They have been talking only the HR terms, and the CFO and the CEO don't understand anything apart from dollars and cents. So spot on, I think, very well agree with you on that.
Yeah. That's well. Equally the vendor's fault, right? So it's our job, it's our counterparts in the industry's job to help educate and provide those sort of calculations and data points to the various stakeholders in the buying process. So it is obviously an education process on both sides, and one that ultimately it just takes time. But as you've seen, I'm sure, through the evolution and significant rise in traffic that goes through HRtech.sg, that there is a growing interest. We know there's a growing appetite for these sort of solutions. And as the economies become more buoyant and business is profitable and so forth, the next generation of workers come in who are demanding a digital experience or a digital onboarding experience. Very quickly, companies will have to shift whether they like it or not.
Fantastic. I mean, incidentally, that was my next question in terms of how do you help your client HR teams get buy-in from the leadership? I think you answered it, saying you really have to work with them in presenting, in strengthening their business case, right? I mean, are there any other aspects where you work with them?
It's just, how do you remove friction along the way? So again, at Verimark, we know there are three or four personas, if you will, that we have to address throughout the larger account. And we know they all have very different values and interests. As you see, the CFO wants the dollars and cents. The IT security guy wants to know that you're going to be data compliant and not get him in trouble. And I think it's about having the collateral or the sales enablement on the material to really, again, make sure that each of those can have those questions answered as quickly as possible with as much credibility as or accuracy and data proof behind it, evidence as possible.
Okay, so which pushes us to us. The last question of the session, right, Dan? Key aspect is, how do we ensure the HR teams become more data-driven and tech-savvy, right? So from your perspective of working with startups, enterprises, what would be your suggestion or advice be?
The way Verimark approaches, or the way I think you approach it, is really by trying to build broader awareness of the HR tech ecosystem. So as you mentioned, we also run the Workplace Accelerator, which is a global program dedicated to early stage HR tech ventures that also brings with it a global mentor network of HR leaders who then get exposed to those new ideas, who get exposed to the benefits of a business, or increase the level of curiosity for them all. And I think that's it's just that consistent education and realizing that it work elsewhere and you could do the same for your business. From the data-driven, again, I think it's interesting to see there's a very large rise in people analytics tools out there now, right? So there's a lot of tools now that are actually just building the data in, right? Because we can't expect HR to become mathematicians overnight. As they start to see, or as the tools enable them to understand the different ways in which you can overlay these data points and understand actually what's going in with an organization, I think that muscle will naturally grow within the function. And people will start to, again, I don't think we can send all the HR leaders back to school to work it out. So again, it needs to be a bit more proactive on the vendor side to really help them unmask or unbox and really take full advantage of the richness of the data that a lot of these tools are collecting.
Fantastic. That's a valid point. It's really going to be difficult to train HR professionals, mid-career HR professionals, to become more data-driven and tech-savvy. But the products can be really enhanced to provide those features. And it's up to the HR tech providers to ensure that these features are communicated clearly to the HR team so that they are able to leverage it to the maximum. Thank you very much for joining us on this session of Tech Talks, Daniel. And congratulations again to you and to the Verimark team for the Series A equity round. Wishing you many more milestones in the years to come, and hope to host you in yet another session of Tech Talks.
Thanks very much. Look forward to it. Cheers.